You know, that's a really good sign. We don't want to give up our fellowship and meeting each other. So praise God for that. So today we're talking about a training camp. You know, there are lots of training camps out there. There's soccer training camps that people go to. Sometimes they last a couple weeks. Sometimes we go to special workshops. We get trained in a special skill. But today we're talking about a training camp that lasts a lifetime. God has a special training camp for each one of us to bring about his purposes into our lives, to mold us and to shape us to be more like him. He puts us in this training camp so that we grow, that our hearts belong to him. And actually, this training camp is ultimately preparing us for eternity to be with him. We're going to be reading today from 1 Samuel chapter 16, looking at the training camp of David. If you'd like to turn there, it's on page 226 in the Pew Bibles, which are right in front of you in the pew in front of you. We'll also be looking a little bit in chapter 17, so keep your Bibles open throughout the message if you'd like. And we'll read this passage, verses 1 through 13 together of 1 Samuel chapter 16. Before that, let's go to prayer. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you that you deal with us as your own children. Lord, that includes discipline, but Lord, we're so thankful that you are a God of love, that everything you do, Lord, is based on your great compassion and your great mercy for us. Lord, we are very needy. We need your touch in our lives. We need your strength. And Lord, we need you to show us the way forward. This morning, Lord, we want to submit everything to you, saying, Lord, here we are. We need you. Lord, we also want to be effective people in this world, and we pray especially today for our nation. Lord, as we're celebrating this 250th year of independence, Lord, we lift up our government to you. We lift up our officials. We lift up our whole culture, everything going on in this nation. And we say, Lord, equip us to make a difference. Hear our prayer, Lord, as we cry out for mercy and ask for you to move in our nation, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So reading from 1 Samuel chapter 16. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king." But Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears about it, he will kill me." The Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what to do. You are to anoint for me the one I indicate." Samuel did what the Lord said. When he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled when they met him. They asked, "Do you come in peace?" And Samuel replied, "Yes, in peace. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come to the sacrifice with me." Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look on the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, "The Lord has not chosen this one either." Jesse then had Shammah pass by, but Samuel said, "Nor has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse had seven of his sons pass before Samuel, but Samuel said to him, "The Lord has not chosen these." So he asked Jesse, are these all the sons you have?" "There's still the youngest," Jesse answered. "He is tending the sheep." Samuel said, "Send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives." So he sent for him and had him brought in. He was glowing with health and had a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, "Rise and anoint him. This is the one." So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers, and from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. Samuel then went to Ramah. So this is very interesting. This prophet, who was revered throughout the land, known as a man who heard directly the voice of God, arrives, calls a feast, and then anoints the youngest son of eight. And the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him. So the first question I want to ask is, why did God choose David? It says in verse 7, God looks at the heart. And we also read in other portions of Scripture, it says that David was a man after God's own heart. So it was this heart relationship that God saw. It wasn't what David had done. It wasn't anything about him other than his heart was fully devoted to the Lord. You know, it says in 2 Chronicles 16:9, "For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him." May we be those whose hearts are fully committed to him. And again, the Lord, people look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And then Samuel poured the oil on his head, and it says, from that day onwards, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. David received a special anointing from the Lord, a special anointing of the Holy Spirit that he needed to do what God had called him to do. Then what happened, though? You'd think if he was anointed king that something tremendous would have happened at that moment. Samuel knew that he was appointed to be king, but actually in the Scripture, we don't see any reference that he told Jesse, any of the brothers, or even David what this anointing was about. It appears he just poured the oil on his head and prayed for him, and the Spirit of God came upon him. And then what happened? I can imagine his brothers and his dad were going, "What's this all about? What just happened? We don't know. Okay, David, get back to work. Go back to the sheep." This is the training camp of the Lord, that he went back to his sheep. God chose him and anointed him, and he sent him to take care of sheep. And he continued in the Lord's training camp for his life. Now, this training camp had started before this event, before he received his anointing, and it continued long afterwards. This training camp was arduous, dangerous, and difficult. But God's purposes then would strip away any pride and prepare David, going through difficulties, being trained, and training him in faithfulness. God was preparing him to be king. So first of all, God trained and prepared David alone in the pastures with sheep. God trained him with just everyday life, whatever is going to happen that day. He learned faithfulness and to give his best out in the pastures where no one saw him. He became faithful in little things, caring for the sheep, but he also fought off lions and bears and saved little lambs. He developed skills as a warrior, practicing with his slingshot when he had nothing else to do, I imagine. And he developed his talents. What did he do when he was alone, sitting and watching the sheep? He had a lyre with him, and he developed a skill as a musician, and he sang and he worshiped God. You know, David could have been bitter. He was the youngest of eight sons, so he had very little standing in the family. He had the lowest of jobs, being a shepherd. He was alone a lot, but instead he applied himself and did his very best. He put his heart and his soul into taking care of sheep and in worshiping God. Through all of this, then, his heart was purified, and David became a man after the Lord's own heart. So in this, then, David practiced his lyre a lot, and he became really good at it. So much so that his playing became known. I can imagine what it was like before TV and radio and internet and all that kind of stuff. People in villages, they got together and they played music. So just imagine David out playing his lyre with others, learning from them, singing songs together, sharing songs that they had written, also probably doing sports, wrestling, also sword fights, getting ready for battles. These were the things that were going on, and people noticed David. They noticed his character, that he was a man of God, that God was with him, and that he was excellent in everything that we do. So moving on, we learn that Saul then was being tormented by a demon. And he was looking, he said then, send someone out to play the lyre for me, like play the harp to give me comfort. So it says in 16 verse 17, Saul said to his attendants, find someone who plays well and bring him to me. One of the servants answered, I have seen a son of Jesse in Bethlehem who knows how to play the lyre. He is a brave man and a warrior. He speaks well and is a fine looking man. And the Lord is with him. So something was going on in the life of David that people recognize when they're around him. The Lord is with him. So he was taken into Saul's court. Now you'd say, okay, he's arrived. He became one of Saul's armor bearers, and it says that he really pleased Saul. Saul liked him a lot. You're like, okay, this is his pathway towards eventually stepping into kingship. But no, he went back and forth to take care of the sheep. Excuse me, he remained a shepherd. It says in chapter 17, verse 15, David went back and forth from Saul to tend his father's sheep at Bethlehem. So to me, this is clearly another sign. No one there had a clue what David was called to do. No one, not one of them knew that he was called to be a king. They knew that a prophet came and anointed him, but other than that, it's like, nah, he belongs with the sheep. Then a defining moment came for David that we're all familiar with, the battle against Goliath. It says in chapter 17, verse 4, a champion named Goliath, who is from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. His height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head and wore his coat of scale armor of bronze weighing 5,000 shekels on his legs. He wore bronze greaves and a bronze javelin was slung on his back. His spear shaft was like a weaver's rod and his iron point weighed 600 shekels and his shield bearer went ahead of him. Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become subjects and serve us. Then the Philistine said, that this day I defy the armies of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other. On hearing the Philistines' words, Saul and the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. So then we see that Jesse then, he sent David, who was back with his sheep. He had three brothers that were on the front lines of the battle. They'd gone to fight with Saul. He sent him just to take supplies to his brothers. So he packed up a donkey, probably went and took these supplies, also gifts for the commanding officer, and he was to bring back a report. David arrived just in time to see Goliath go out and make his daily threat and defy the armies of Israel. And David just had a knee-jerk reaction. Like it was just automatic. He didn't even think, I think. He just said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? David was confident in God because he knew that God was with him. He had an intimate relationship with God. He had seen God's faithfulness to him over and over again. And so when he heard this Philistine threatening to him, it just seemed ridiculous. God is on our side. He looked back. He could see the faithfulness of God in circumstances. He recalled the way the Lord had rescued him. And therefore, he had faith. In verse 34, 17, it says, David said to Saul, well, before this then, some people heard what David was saying, and they brought him then to Saul. And David said to him, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of the Philistine. David had built up faith based on everyday experiences taking care of sheep, and it prepared him to go to battle with confidence against a giant. He had practiced obedience to the Lord every day, and he had experienced God's enabling power in his everyday work. So when he was filled with the Holy Spirit, I think it's really important to see, it was applied first of all in taking care of sheep, doing his everyday work. And his everyday work, the small matters, are what prepared him to fight a giant. And then we know what happened. David went out with a sling with 5 stones. He slung his sling, and it sunk a stone right into the forehead of Goliath. He fell. Then David took his sword, ran over to him, and cut off his head. The Philistine army was routed. They fled, and the Israelites rose up, and they defeated the enemy army. So now we're looking at the life of David and asking, how can we apply all these things in our own lives? Can we look at our lives and ask the question, what is my training camp? What has the Lord put before me and called to me to do that is part of his process to train me, first of all, for an intimate relationship with himself, to draw me into deep, deep fellowship? That's his first desire. But also to work through me, to work through you for his purposes in this world. Each one of us has a calling and a purpose that God wants to fulfill through us. First of all, develop then in your training camp, develop your heart relationship with the Lord. Be a person after God's own heart. Be the one that when God looks throughout the whole earth looking for someone who is fully committed to him, his eyes rest on you. Now, this morning I read this again. I was preparing it. I just had to stop and pray, Lord, I want to be that person. Therefore, I commit my life to you fully. I give you everything. I'm asking, Lord, take my heart and change it so that I'll be fully committed to you. And I'll just tell you, God cannot resist a prayer like that. When we cry out and say, God, take my heart and make me fully devoted to you, he will do that. You know, sometimes we're in a place where we have things going on in our lives, our hearts are bound up, we have other allegiances and other things that pull us, and we feel like, no, I'm not totally devoted to the Lord. Cry out to him. Say, Lord, change me. Make me fully devoted to you. And he will act. He will work step by step to bring circumstances into your life. And as you keep praying that prayer, Lord, I want to be fully devoted to you, he will start stripping away the things that have held us back. God desires to have a heart-to-heart relationship with you. And he will work in your life when you surrender him to him, when you speak the words, Lord, be my Lord and my Savior. I give you everything. Surrender to him, and he will draw you close. Number two, develop obedience in everyday matters. We need to do our work asking for the anointing of the Lord and do everything with excellence and with heart. Doing our best. David faithfully took care of the sheep as part of his training camp. I believe he did it with joy and with a good attitude, not saying, why am I stuck here, but saying, I'll apply myself to where I find myself. Wherever the Lord has put me, I'm going to do my best. He learned to rely on the Lord, and every bit of our days and our challenges, every one of them matter. How we respond in different situations, how we complete our work, how we interact in our families, all of these places are the Lord's training camp for us. In this, then, we gain confidence in the everyday battles and challenges. Some of them are small, but some, like the lion and the bear, will be quite large. But when we're walking with the Lord and we know that He's empowered us, we will not be fearful. We know that I have everything I need for this battle, and we can enter in with confidence. We learn faithfulness in the small matters. It's the little things, actually, that count. It's what's happening when no one is watching. This is our training in the Lord's camp. I'm going to add one more here to this about practicing everyday matters. We need to limit our entertainment and our time wasters. So I'll just confess, when I was working on this message, it was like, okay, all right, Lord, I hear you. So I found an app, and I downloaded it, and I installed it that shuts off my internet access from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. It also enabled that only my wife can change that. So some of us have really great self-discipline. You don't scroll. That's great. I'm happy for you. Some of us do not. We need a little extra help. So I'd encourage you, place those limits in your life. Have accountability. Let's work for purity. Let's work for focus and doing the things that matter. Number three, then, is develop your skills. David practiced the lyre a lot. He became really an outstanding musician. He composed songs and he sang, and the Lord used this in an incredible way, but most of all, he became a worshiper of God. He developed his musical talents and used them alone in his worship as he's taking care of the sheep. I say to all of you, young people, practice your instruments. Learn music. But also practice other skills that look what the talents that God has given to you and develop them to be, cliche phrase, be all that you can be for the Lord. We want to be ready then to use our gifts and pray for his anointing in whatever we do. We also have a responsibility to develop what God has given to us. In the past 2 weeks as I was preparing, I also read in my 311 group from Matthew 25 about the parable of the talents, or the master. He gave 5 bags of gold to one servant, 3 bags of gold to another, and 1 to another, and they're supposed to invest it. But one of them took his gold and he buried it and kept it safe. The other two, though, invested it and their investment grew. And again, I was convicted. What am I doing? Okay, I'm 63 years old, but I'm still called to develop what God has given me. And am I doing that? And I realize there's some areas of my life I've been slacking off. I'll just confess that. I need to continue to develop what God has given to me. Number four, as David trained to be a warrior, became skillful with his slingshot, with swords probably in every aspect of warfare, and gained strength, we need to train to be spiritual warriors. This means basically we need to grow strong in prayer. We need to wrestle and learn to hear from the Lord, discern his voice, and grow. And we've just finished a few weeks ago a series on spiritual warfare. Apply those principles and become strong in the spiritual realm. As you faithfully serve in these areas, one more thing, seek God's anointing. When Samuel came to David, as I said, my theory is that he did not tell what was going on. We're told in the scripture he's coming to anoint him as a king, but we're not told. David, most likely, I think, was not told. But what Samuel was basically saying is he needs the anointing of God to complete what the Lord is calling him to. Even what immediately followed, when he's fighting the bear, when he's fighting the lion, he needed the anointing of God. And then that anointing of God was present on him when he faced the giant. I would encourage you, cry out to God and say, Lord, I need your anointing. And keep praying until that anointing comes, and it will increase. This anointing then will grow on us as we spend time in the Word of God, as we spend time in fellowship with one another, as we spend time praying and worshiping our God, his anointing upon us will grow. I believe it's something we also receive by faith. Lord, I receive your anointing. And I ask for it. I desperately need the anointing and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit upon my life. Then, as we faithfully serve, the doors will open for you to fulfill your calling. Now, I want to make one point here. When David was called into Saul's service, first to play the harp, then became an armor bearer, it's not like he saw a post that was advertised. Okay, you can come and audition. and will pick someone to be or interview for a job. He faithfully did his work, he shared his gifts with others, and people saw him, and he was called up into service. As we faithfully serve, the Lord will open the door. As we develop our gifts, as we practice, as we work hard, the Lord will open the doors for us to serve him. It might be that we'll see that advertisement for an opportunity and we can apply for it. That's fine. But we'll know if the Lord opens the door, no one else will be able to shut it. So finally, just in conclusion, when we serve faithfully in everyday matters and prepare our hearts, develop our gifts, and fight the everyday battles, the big battles or the giants are no longer a threat. We will not be intimidated then when the really hard things of life come before us, because we have learned to rely on the Lord. We've learned to surrender our own strength and say, Lord, I don't have what it takes, but I am depending on you. And as we learn that in everyday life then, when those big opportunities come or those big battles come, we will not fear. We'll know, hey, I am grounded in fellowship. I have my brothers and sisters with me, and I am solid and I am strong in the Lord. This is my prayer for each one of you, that you be strong in the Lord, that you know his special anointing, his special calling for your life, and that you move forward with confidence, knowing I have been chosen and set apart for the purposes of the Lord, and he has given me everything that I need to accomplish that purpose. Amen.